Good afternoon. Hallelujah. It's always wonderful to come out of Apostolic Strategies. You know, you come out there so blessed, you'd be like, you know. But it's a wonderful thing. And as I shared with y'all before, I'm a career student. I don't believe that you can ever stop learning from the apostle that we're around. We got to have fathers who can impart unto us. So I want to encourage you. I know many of you are first-year students. I think all of you are first-year students. But don't get through the second year and decide to quit. This school must be a lifetime. This is a lifetime journey. You never retire. All of us, especially the connection to this school, is so important to your life, to the life of your families, and to the ministries in which you are serving or are called to. So I don't want you to be as students in times past have been, get out of school, become alumni, and become disconnected. I believe that your connection is the most important thing in your life. So don't worry about that little certificate saying you graduated. You know, be a lifetime student and be connected, because whoever you are connected to is a prophecy of where you're going. Now remember, Grandma and Grandpa, never found it in the Bible, but Grandma and Grandpa used to say, birds of a feather flock together, and they say the Bible said. But that's okay, don't worry about it. But what they were meaning is whoever you hang around, if you're paying attention in class, then some things will come up on you. Father, we thank you tonight for all of the students here present, the online students. We thank you, Father, for the purpose and the reason why you established this school, and so that we can witness the anointing as it comes upon our apostle. We thank you, Father, that this is not a school like secular schools just for book knowledge and head knowledge. One of the greatest things we can appreciate about this school is that we're all learning how to function in the Spirit, and how that we can walk close with the Holy Spirit and, more than anything else, obey you. And so we found out tonight that if we obey you, you're responsible for the outcome. That's worth the trip. Just that in itself. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began to look at prophecy, the concept of prophecy under the Old Testament. And there were two Hebrew words that we went over, naba, and that word meant to bubble up, to gush forth, or to pour forth. And we say that this Hebrew word reflects the influence of the Holy Spirit upon the human personality and spirit until the message bubbles up, gushes forth, and pours out of the prophet's lips like a mighty river. The anointed message stirs the heart of the man, causing his heart to respond towards God, to express God's feelings, God's thoughts, and God's emotion. Now, we talk about the word naba, all right? And I may not, you know, I'm not no Hebrew scholar, so no, I'm not trying to impress you. Amen. It is what it is. That's the best I can do. Amen. I get the names in the Bible, I call them any kind of thing. Keep on reading. All right. So, see, the prophetic message is seen as the human activity and response to God's anointed word that comes to stir the prophet's heart. Then we found out that the Bible says the entrance to thy word brings light, healing, power, and also to accomplish by physical manifestation. So the point of this word naba means it gushes up, it bubbles up. That talks about our ability to receive what God is saying. You understand what I'm saying? See, before it can bubble up and gush up, it's got to be what? Received. So the word natif, N-A-T-A-F, it means to drop, to fall as drops of rain. This Hebrew word reflects the prophetic message as a direct result of divine activity coming from God, who is the source of all life. So I always want to emphasize that, because what I found in the modern day church, even Apostle touched on it tonight, you know, all of us have been through different walks of life, go through different phases in different churches and different movements, different companies. And one of the things I find about prophecy is we take prophecy too lightly. People just want to get up and prophesy. But baby, when you're talking about prophesying, you're talking about I'm speaking on the behalf of God. I don't know about you, brother, but that put some fear in me. How about tell somebody God said this? I sure better make sure God said that. Because how many of you know people will blame God for the lie somebody else told? Come on, talk to me up here. How many people gave people bad words, God got a bad name, and the person never owned up to it? Prophecy to me is so, because it's such a driving force. A prophetic word can change your life forever and the course of your life forever. So native reflects divine activity. Means, you know, as we said before, native reflects divine activity or activity, because it means that it falls down as a what? Drop of rain, right? Or it means to drop or to fall as drops of rain. So that shows that it comes from above. That's the whole purpose. This Hebrew word reflects the prophetic message as a direct result of divine activity coming from God, the source of all life. Divine activity sets the motion for human activity. Divine activity sets the motion for human activity. That's why God's word got to be received first before it can be acted out. You follow what I'm saying? You have to receive God's word. You know, we talk, you can't even believe on Jesus till you first believe what's taught about him. You follow what I'm saying? All right. So it goes on to say that it reflects divine influence or activity, whereas Naba reflects human response to divine activity. Human response to divine activity. Now we're going to move forward. I just wanted to go over those words again, and I want to move to the concept of New Testament prophecy. The concept of what? New Testament prophecy. Now, and I believe that's where we left off last time. I said I would pick up here. Is that correct? Okay. The New Testament Greek word prophetio means to prophesy or to speak for another. It means to prophesy or to speak for another, to be his spokesman or to be his mouthpiece. That's powerful, because what that's telling me is I'm speaking on the behalf of God. So prophecy ain't like with God. You know, I told you under the old covenant, remember God told Moses, I'm going to put words in your mouth that you're going to speak. You listening to me? Well, under the New Testament, God puts words in our heart and in our mouth. Oh, come on now. You understand? God, it's because we have the ability as New Testament believers to receive God's word directly into our human spirits. Why? That's where the Holy Ghost at. You listening? So it means to say or to speak. To say or to speak. Under the New Testament, it also means foretelling or forthtelling. Foretelling or forthtelling. That's where some people get in, run into trouble. When they think, you know, everybody who prophesies is a prophet. But you're going to discover that the prophet carries a mantle that causes him to be able to do what he does. Most of us who function in prophecy, you have to be connected to the prophetic flow. We headed there. So now the New Testament prophet has the ability, the New Testament prophecy prophet has the ability to what? To hear or receive directly from God into his spirit and not his mind. The New Testament prophet has the ability to hear and receive directly from God into his spirit and not his mind, to discern and respond rightly to the word of God received. He deciphers the word accurately. Now, we're talking about the difference between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy. It's very important to understand. Now, I know some of y'all have friends. See, one of the things about operating in the prophetic is that you must understand you might like somebody and won't say something about them that God didn't tell you. You might want to will something for somebody. You understand? Want them to have something. But when you start putting God's name on it, it takes it over into another realm. Y'all with me? Okay. It goes on to say, the simple definition of prophecy. By the way, I'm going to go back and give y'all definitions for all nine manifestations of the Spirit so you won't be confused about which is which. I mean detailed definitions, okay? But because all of the other gifts flow on prophecy, we're going to start with prophecy, all right? So the simple definition of prophecy is to speak on the behalf of God, the divinely inspired and anointed utterance received for the people present. Say it again. The simple definition of prophecy is to speak on the behalf of God, the divinely inspired and anointed utterance received for the people present. Prophecy is for the now. We need a now word. You understand? Not next week. What God is saying right now. Now, prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. What is prophecy? A supernatural utterance in a known tongue. So when someone is prophesying to you, they are hearing directly from God and speaking it as God is giving it to them in a language known to you and known to the person you're speaking to. Are you listening to me? Which I'm going to bring you to a meditation verse in a minute. Now, prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. It is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and not of the human mind. Prophecy does not come out of a human mind. It comes directly from God because I'm supposed to be speaking on his behalf. Y'all got it? Now, human will and faith are active in prophecy. You got to believe God talking. You got to believe God is speaking. See? Sometimes people want to get so spiritual. Even when you pray in tongues, you can hear yourself. You know, come on, let's be real. You know, once you're filled with the Spirit, it don't take a role scholar to figure out. I heard what I said last week. I'm going to just repeat that till I get some more. I mean, you know, why I'm going to sit up here fumbling? See, I remember my struggle with receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was coaching everybody. My wife, a full-grown Baptist. I instructed her. Now, I'm a Kojic boy. I was raised in the church. They taught me to tarry. Well, hell, I thought tarrying was going to get it. I was working hard. Nothing was happening. I told that girl what to do. She came the night she received. I'm still tarrying. I tarried. I wasn't in Jerusalem, but I still tarried. And, you know, I was in the room, you know, doing the early course of marriage. I was in the room, and I remember my father gave me a book because my father kind of stepped outside of Kojic, you know, got persecuted for it. But he said, my son's struggling here. I'm going to make sure he received his Holy Spirit. So he gave me a book on how to receive the Holy Spirit. So they say you receive it by faith. So I got on my knees and I was living with my mother-in-law at the time. I was in college, married. Amen. And I was kneeling on the other side of the wall and I heard the Holy Ghost. I began to just do what the book say. Just speak what you hear. Just thought, you know, just dot, whatever. So I'm there on my knees trying to, you know, do this. And I heard a voice say, speak it louder. I said, no, my mother-in-law on the other side of that wall. She going to hear me. My mother-in-law going to think I'm halfway out of my mind. But to make a long story short, now you might think that's funny. I said the human will and faith is involved. in prophecy. That was the illustration. See, I had to believe that the words that I was getting was coming from God so I can speak them. Had to bypass my educated brain that couldn't understand none of them crazy words that was coming out of my mouth. You know what the devil was saying, huh? You making that up. Come on now. So that's why we struggle with certain things. Many of you, the spirit of prophecy will come upon during the course of a service, and you know you're supposed to speak out, and that spirit say, don't you say that. You know you don't have nothing. Y'all kind of quiet up here. Oh, no, the man of God going to shut you down. Listen, in this apostolic move, because of government being established in God's church, we know that all prophecy must be done decently and in order. So if you're going to prophesy, the man of God is up there to judge it. Amen. And we all know we can judge too, you know. Because if it watered down the service, you ate a bad biscuit that night. That wasn't the Lord. That was that biscuit you ate. Now, I'm saying that because human will and faith are active in prophecy. The human intellect and reasoning are not the source of prophecy. Human reasoning and intellect, how smart you are, how educated you are. We're speaking on the behalf of God. When you're speaking on the behalf of God, God talked to a donkey. So you know he can talk to us. Amen? Now, prophecy is so important to God. The church got to get back here, y'all. We're supposed to be functioning in all nine manifestations of the Spirit. That is the truth. Those gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are our earthly inheritance. And God put those gifts so we can build up and take care of his church. Maybe when these gifts start functioning, and I'm telling you, these gifts will bring God on the scene like nothing else. All the Old Testament prophets, what do you think it means? The word of the Lord came to me for you. The word of the Lord came to me for you. When Elisha, the prophet, went to the widow woman of Zarephath, and God told him, I commanded a widow woman to sustain you, but the widow woman ain't had nothing. She got two sticks and a little meal and a little cruise of oil. She about to bake the cake and die. And the prophet go to her and begin to watch this. Now, remember, on the Old Testament prophecy, we say that the word of the prophet and the word of the Lord was so strong, you couldn't even distinguish the two. So the prophet would say, when I say something, it's God saying it. So when the prophet showed up and talked to that woman and told her, go get me some water, she went. But he said, now go bake me a cake. She said, as long as the Lord your God liveth, prophet, I just got enough for me and my son. You wasn't on the list last I checked. I'm about to bake this cake for me and my son, eat it, and die. Tell your neighbor, if you eat your seed, you're going to die. See, because a seed never looked like it's enough to make something happen. But in the hand of a prophet that God had sent. Now watch what happens. He speaks to this woman and tells this woman, go make me a cake first. Then after make one for you. Then he tells her that the cruse of oil won't fail and the barrel of meal won't dry up. Yeah. Then he said it like he said it. Then he came back and said, according to what God told me to tell you. You understand that? See, all through the Old Testament, when you study prophets, they'll say stuff and you'll swear they act like they God. But that's the whole point. When you're speaking on the behalf of God, come on now. God ain't ashamed of us representing him when we represent him, right? Apostle is speaking on the behalf of God. If you can't hear him, how you gonna hear God? You can't see God, you can see him. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Prophecy is the most important of the inspirational vocal gifts. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14 and 5, which I want you to meditate, I would that you all speak with tongues, but I rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues. Y'all got that? Except, now notice this phrase, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. When I say all of the gifts of the Spirit piggyback on prophecy, that's a true statement, right? That's a true statement. You just read it. But diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues is equivalent to prophecy. So if you have a silver dime and you have two nickels, they still equal 10 cents. So why is it that people trip when I tell them that if all of the gifts piggyback on prophecy, then it could carry over to diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues? Being able to interpret what you're saying, because it's equivalent to prophecy. That's why as New Testament believers, praying in tongues is not enough for us today. Because when you pray in tongues, you're only edifying and building up yourself. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's building you up. But God is in the building his church up and his body up. So he said, versus you speaking in an unknown tongue, just building up yourself, I need you to pray that you can interpret what you're praying. So others, including yourself, can be built up. That's why prophecy is so important. You listening to me? Because it's to build up the entire body. Are you with me? So he said, I would that all of you speak with tongues, but rather that you all prophesy. Notice he said that all of you prophesy. Y'all kind of quiet. See, in this thing of spiritual gifts, sometimes we get a little tripped out. Moses being a prophet. Y'all remember when the Spirit of God came up on Moses? Moses was in the camp. They had some people outside the camp. The Spirit of God came up on them. They start prophesying. The men run to Moses, talking about, they got some folk outside the camp prophesying. Should we go kill them? Moses said, quit tripping. Moses said this, I would that all of God's children were prophets. Oh, come on now. See, ministry gifts are not in competition with each other, because Jesus is the giver of the gift. And it's our job to empower people, not be intimidated by their empowerment. All right, okay. All right. All right. See, that's the problem with the world. They want a hard knowledge, whole knowledge. Knowledge is made to empower people. You should always be training somebody to take your place. That's not job security, that's job stupidity. When you are around here withholding information from somebody because you don't want them to get ahead of you with your lazy self. But if you train somebody else to take over your spot, God got another one waiting on you. Just thought I'd let you know that while I was here. So that you can get here and be faithful. And then when you're over an auxiliary, you're over something, you're connected to somebody, you're trained somebody to do what you're doing. In case your crazy butt get a revelation to leave, then the church will still be edified. You know, we get people who get pleasure out of leaving churches crippled. Because the law don't work like that. Whoever that's for, let's keep on going here. Prophecy is the doorway for all other gifts. It is a medium through which all the other gifts will flow. Apostle Paul challenged us earnestly to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that we may what? Prophesy. Especially that we may what? Prophesy. Prophecy must be coveted by all and practiced by all. Y'all got that? The function of prophecy is vital to the spiritual growth of both the individual as well as the church itself. Prophecy don't just edify yourself, it edify you and everybody else. Y'all got it? The purpose of prophecy, and this will get rid of all of these people who got all this bad news for folk. Prophecy is not telling folk bad stuff. Prophecy comes to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. When it's out of those three, count it but dung. Because prophecy is not to tear people down. It's to build them up. Y'all kind of quiet in this church. Prophecy is not about shaming people publicly. Y'all kind of quiet. I know y'all have seen this in churches. Come on now. People's lives being destroyed because somebody got a whim to prophesy. Y'all kind of quiet now. Hope that wasn't you. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edified himself. But he that prophesies edified the church. So the first purpose of prophecy is to edify. Edify. The word edify means to build up. Huh? It means building up, erecting, putting stones into place. Putting stones into place. When things are set properly, the foundation is laid properly, cannot be torn down. Prophecy edifies not only the spirit, but also the mind of men. The gift of tongues or prophecy only edifies the spirit of men and the spirit of the person operating the gift. Y'all got that? The gift of tongues only edifies the spirit of men and the spirit of the person operating the gift. Unless it is interpreted, the minds of men are not edified. Prophecy is for the building up of the believer, the entire church. Prophecy also comes to exhort. Say exhort. That means a calling near to God for divine purpose. Yeah. A calling near to God, exhorting you to do God's will, God's way. Amen. So we'll pick up there the next time. Amen. Y'all enjoy your nights. Time is up.